15 minutes, 25 seconds. 20 seconds and counting. 15 minutes, 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour.
And as Apollo 11 does its roll program, this podcast now does its roll program. The tape is rolling. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. My name is Grant Cameron, and you're listening to the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. Thank you for taking time from your life to be here. In the past couple of days, weeks, and months, people in the UFO community have heard about the U.S. government doing a special report on what intelligence knows about the UFO phenomena. Today's episode, I'm going to play a tape which may give some indication of at least one of the things that the government is doing behind the scenes. Whether it will come out in this report or not, I don't know. This is a tape that has been around for 3-4 years now. And I've had it for at least 3 years. It is a tape that is done with Dr. Kit Green with an intuitive. And the idea is that Kit Green and Gary Nolan are working with intuitives, and they are working on a study. So I will read from Jim Peniston's book, The Rendlesham Enigma, about what Kit Green told Jim Peniston about what he is doing, and then I'm going to play a tape. Now, probably everybody in the UFO community has heard the tape, but I'm going to play it here, attach it to the podcast so it's on the record. In a meeting with Jim Peniston in his book on page 616, Jim Peniston talks about the encounter with Dr. Kit Green, who used to run the weird desk at the CIA. That is where all the paranormal and UFO stuff is logged, and he ran it from the early 1970s till the early 1980s. So this is quoting from Jim Peniston's book. To conclude with what Kit Green had already told me, I asked, "So the purpose of you being here and is that you are here to help me?" Green stuttered and said, "Yes," adding that it would also help his own research with this phenomenon, especially where others who have had similar experiences are concerned. I then asked, "Who are the others that are being researched?" And also asked if he was working for any of the three subcontractors who routinely do unacknowledged special access program work. I then named the three major contractors, the largest being Science Application International Corporation, along with Bigelow Aerospace being the last. Hesitantly, Green said that he had never heard of the first two, but not very convincingly. However, Green went on to say that he is working with a group who are exploring cases that need to be looked at. I then asked, "Are you doing subcontracting work for the government then?" Green replied, "Yes," and added that he was currently working for Bigelow Aerospace with a group of 8 other scientists and medical professionals. Green then said that he was researching a project about propulsion with these cases. I stopped Green mid-sentence. "Oh, come on," I said. "It's not about propulsion." Green responded, "I guess propulsion is the wrong word. I was only using that word so you could understand what I'm talking about." "Well, just humor me," Peniston replied. "And use the real words. If I don't understand, I will ask." Green continued, "Okay, so the real meaning from my point of view is that this is not only about the Rendlesham incident itself, but also aspects of the phenomena that we have seen in other witnesses. And rather than propulsion, we want to understand exactly how does the technology enable interdimensional travel." Now, going to a later page, this is what was reported. Returning to the first sit-down conversation with Dr. Kit Green, in Rockford, Illinois. The focus of what he and other people he was working for seemed to be to want to obtain and develop, how does this technology enter our reality and leave as easily as it entered? That to me is portal technology. Now, this, whether the government will reveal what Kit Green and these other eight people working for Big Yellow Airspace have discovered, they are working with experiencers. They went to John Burroughs, they went to Jim Peniston, and they were looking for to do fMRIs and to get a blood sample to do DNA. So the tape you're now about to hear is Kit Green talking to an intuitive and asking questions about the phenomenon, what's going on, which is kind of impressive because it goes beyond lights in the sky. It's actually dealing with the people who are actually interacting with the phenomena. You'll hear some very interesting stuff with the intuitive replying. And Kit Green says at one point this intuitive, especially when as it applies to medical information, is 95% accurate. You will hear her talking about portals. You will hear her talking about an interaction between ET intelligence and the government. Fascinating conversation. A little bit hard to understand. It's on an audio tape that was taped on the phone. When I sent it to John Burroughs, he immediately sent it to Kit Green and said, is this real? And Kit Green's reply was, this is a private conversation. The client leaked the tape. Legally, I can't talk about it. So here's the tape. The audio is not that good, but the material is absolutely fascinating.
In February the 20th, 2017, Kay Randall May here, and I'm working on case 0.011. And this is the case where you gave me the coordinates of 34.108551 and 118.345179. And I have the questions here, and I can do it in two ways. I can begin by answering the questions about the event and then go to the person, because I read for the person. I prepared in reading for the person on January 26th and then also again on February 20th, both of those in 2017, which gives us two different peaks into the person. But I would like to give you my impression about the event.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Repeat back to me slowly the coordinates.
The coordinates that you gave me were 34.108551, and there would be a minus 118.345179. That's what's here.
Minus 118.345179. So, let me repeat. 34.108551.
Correct.
Second was minus 118.345179. Got it.
Okay.
All right. All right. And you said that the readings on the person were done on what the date again? You said
January 26th.
Yeah.
2017 and February the 20th, 2017. I did reading on the person that day and then today, and didn't look back to that day, you know, when I did this one, just to give an update, because it was, we've been working on this for a while. I just wanted to see what was going on.
What about the coordinates? When did you do the coordinate reading?
January 26th.
26th was the, okay, and the coordinates and the person on the 20th.
Uh-huh, right. Okay.
And on the 20th, on February 20th.
All I did was the person.
Got it. Okay, now, what you suggested I think you wanted to do is look at the coordinates or report out in the coordinates first.
What I want to do is, you said key example questions about the event.
Yeah.
Okay, and I wanted to go through that.
I like that. That's the way I would like
okay.
to think.
So you said what occurred? That was your first question. And I put down that if I went into a deep altered state and, you know, just wrote out my my impressions. There is a fourth dimensional portal in this area, in the area of the coordinates. It's very near to the site. And the portal, which is a portal between dimensions, is related to an underwater base near the Catalina Island off the coast of Southern California. And on that date and time, a craft landed with occupants. I would say landed, I would say appeared in this dimension.
I want to make sure I write down the base, underwater base was near Catalina Island.
Catalina Island, C-A-T-A-L-I-N-A Island.
And the next thing you said?
Off the coast of Southern California.
Okay. And then the next word you said was?
Okay, on that date and time of the event.
Okay.
A craft, I say landed, but I would say it appeared in this dimension to land with occupants, which were partly extraterrestrial and part and a few humans as well. So there were.
Humans.
Okay, go ahead. Some aboard the craft were human. Okay, that's where there's a clarification here. This is part, or this particular event is part of ongoing education of influential humans about preparation for a future potential event. The future potential event is a geologic destabilization in the area. I'll tell you more about it in a minute, but I'm going down and answering your questions. The second question you posed was how long was the event occurrence? The event took more than 2 hours, but the witness's memory is partially blocked, and the witness does not remember the entire event. Precipitated the event? That's your question. That's the third question. Oh, no, excuse me. The third was, what was the cause of what occurred? And my response is, there was a planned meeting between high-ranking civilian and military personnel and the others, the watchers, the extraterrestrials, to give directions concerning geologic stabilization.
All right, high-ranking military
and civilian personnel and the others, the watchers, the ETs.
All right.
What precipitated the event? I mean, what would be
the basic? That's the fourth question.
That's the fourth question on your email. Certain underwater, offshore, and onshore tectonic plate movements or potential movements inspired the meeting. And I feel that, I don't want to go too fast for you.
Sorry, I'll stop you. If you're going too fast, I'll say hold.
I feel that the tectonic plate movements were catalyzed by oil drilling and other incursions in to the tectonic plate area by humans. What was the purpose of the event? That's your next question.
Oil drilling and other incursions by
humans. Into the tectonic plate, the rather sensitive tectonic plate regions. In other words, parts of the tectonic interface there up and down the California coast. They're like locking points. They're like trigger points. Now, I put together the next one, which is 5 and 6. Your 5 was what was the purpose of the event, and then what was the agency of action?
I don't remember saying that.
Okay, but this is all. I'm just reading from your email.
Read for me.
Okay.
5. You're taking 5 plus 6 together.
Right.
And tell me what you got by.
Okay. The agency of action was a council of 3 to 5 alien species whose mission it is to protect and preserve the offshore base, that is that base down there in near Catalina Island off the Southern California coast, and to monitor the activity of humans in that area. So there's an agency of action, which is literally a communication network between these alien species, or 3 to 5 of these alien species.
All right, now, that's the agency of action. What was number 5?
Number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What is the purpose of the event? And I've already told you the purpose, what precipitated the purpose. And then the agency of action. I just put the agency of action together with the purpose. It was a warning by this group of ET species. And then I'm going to go on to tell you the cause. Destabilization of plate tectonics in the area by human offshore oil drilling and other activities which destabilize the plates. And then I'll tell you more about the target. Your next question is to the target. I've got a lot more about the target, so I'll tell you about the target in a few minutes. The person that we're talking about, the actual target. But here is what I have to say about the reason that it happened to this person. This is case number 0.011. Target is vocal and an excellent communicator. It was believed by the others, the watchers, the ETs, that he would be able to effectively communicate the warning to others. Now, I'm going to tell you more about the target in a few minutes. I'll go deeply into about the target, if you wish, to separate that from this. But I'm just saying, what I'm feeling is that this target was deliberately chosen for his potential to help achieve the purpose of the council. I'm going to call the agency of action as council. In other words, he was chosen for his potential to do that. And here's a larger pattern. This all fits into a much larger pattern of behavior, which is more than just this event. The pattern is to place thoughts, insights, and information telepathically.
Are you saying spots, S-P-O-T-S.
No, no, the place, thoughts, T-H-O-U-G-H-T-S, thoughts, ideas.
Thoughts, good. Thoughts, what are the other two things?
Insights, which would mean like understanding, and information. Into the minds of people who are able and are willing and capable of spreading this throughout humans. The disclosure of alien presence will take place this way. In other words, by reaching what could be called a critical mass or a critical number of individuals who are compelled, and they may not understand why they're compelled, but they feel they are compelled to do take certain actions. Primarily protect the environment, make sure natural resources are protected, prevent nuclear annihilation, that kind of thing. But they're going to feel they're compelled to do this, and they may not totally understand why. So the disclosure of alien presence will take place this way, and many contactees, such as this person, will be recruited or activated to share their information at the right moment. Okay. So there are many individuals who are in the population now who have been contacted, like this individual, maybe not as dramatically, not in an event per se that could be pinpointed. Many of them will not or do not have conscious memories. If you talk to them, they probably wouldn't even say they believe in ETs. But they will be compelled to protect the environment, compelled to essentially protect the planet, or protect those parts of the planet which also are, should we say, important to the ETs as well. And I feel in this case, there is this specific base, and this base seems to be under the ocean. It is partly what we would call in this dimension and partly in a slightly different dimension, but it is definitely a physical presence where it is. I would like to tell you something about this patient, this person.
About the person
of case 011.
Alright.
I feel this is a fully human individual. In other words, I don't feel this person is a hybrid who has been monitored and abducted, but not in such a way that it was so traumatic that, you know, it overwhelmed everything. Since early childhood. This individual has been followed, essentially, in development. Has been selected, and tissue samples may have been taken, especially early in childhood. He may actually have a scar on his body from early childhood that he can't account for. But he's not a hybrid, okay? But has been chosen because of his ability to communicate. I feel that this person is either a film producer or an activist or a very vocal person, very energetic. But what's really interesting is between last month, January 26th and February 20th, his throat area has really been ratcheted down. So I feel he feels blocked right now. And I got the sense that, the quote unquote, these are the words that came to me. They're not something I usually use. Running scared. I feel he's running scared, quote unquote, right now. Feels like a message of great importance is being repeated to him. He wants to get it out to the public in a film or other means. There's a sense of urgency. I would say this person is a contactee, but and not necessarily a hybrid, as I mentioned, but was chosen because of talents, innate abilities, or some connections that he has. Something, this seems to be a person who has the potential for being heard somehow by the greater population. And very intuitive, but has a lot of anxiety about, it's more like free-floating anxiety, like something's going to happen and feels like that something is going to happen pretty soon. So I did get something unusual today as opposed to last time. I feel he's not feeling as well physically today, February 20th, 2017, as he did January 26th, 2017. Because today, what I picked up was he may be experiencing some rather unusual autoimmune issues from stress, especially stress activated. This may include some demyelinization in the peripheral, at the very base of the peripheral motor nerves of the lower spine. Because I get a sense that he may have some tingling or even numbness, perhaps even some neuropathies of some sort from the lower body. Doesn't seem to be up in the upper body, but seems to be in the lower, and it seems to be coming from L3, L4, L5 down to the sacrum. Now, L3, 4, 5, and down to the sacrum showed up before on January 26th as being somewhat tight and blocked, but today it's showing up as possibly having some demyelinization near the root basis. You know how the root, how the motor nerves come out of that area, go down into the lower part of the body. Also today, there's something going on with some stress in his right shoulder, but that didn't show up before. He does have tension up in the upper part of his back, thoracic 2 to thoracic 6, but today the right shoulder showed up. That could be just an incidental thing, but his, for some reason, his throat area is really closed down today, and his thyroid seems a little low, whereas last time it was really open. I mean, in January 26th, it was really open. So something is going on. It's probably more than just having a sore throat. I feel he's feeling like he has this message to share or something, and he can't get it out. He's not sure he can get it out. I asked who might be the agency, what species. I did get the short grays coming from Zeta Reticuli. Also, the Arcturians, multidimensional, and some from the Pleiades. So there are more than one species, the short grays being from Zeta Reticuli being one of the predominant ones. And these are species which are not, they are benevolent in the sense that they have, okay, I have more about them, okay, on the back here. The others are the watchers. Are representatives of what's called the Supreme Council of Elders. Okay, I'm going to stop this first audio file. Here with an hour of recording to get the message out, not so much about the event, but about to protect the stability of the region. I feel it is to be honored.
Okay, well, it's very interesting. I guess what I'd like to do is ask you, not now, but when you have a chance, go back to the event, which you described in some detail, okay? And focus on him physically during the event. And see if you were to observe him during the event. Be a little mouse shoulder. Where do you see, if you see anything in terms of his immediate surround? By that I mean, let's say, not what he's looking out at, not what he is moving to or doing, but what is it, where is the, what kind of environment, what kind of an environment is he in during the event, and what kind of observation, if you were to be like a foot away, like 2 feet away, 3 feet away, 4 feet away, essentially in his surround, what, if any, would you see?
Okay, I'll do that.
As you look at him, okay?
Okay, and can I, right. Can I get a bit, I'll do that sometime in the next few days, and I'll email you and say I have that information, and then you can talk to me about it at your convenience whenever you like.
Okay.
Yeah, helps. Because there's such a lot. You know, and the questions are so large. But this helps me to know where you want me to focus, and I will do that.
Well, that's a minor thing, because you've been giving me information about some extremely interesting things concerning exactly what the questions were that I gave. The questions that I gave you are answered very well, and I'm really grateful because you focused on exactly the language of my questions, and they gave me the answers, and they were very specific about very sort of corporal space information. And what I just asked you now is to look at the corporeal space of his physiognomy, body. So, I appreciate, by the way, the information concerning his neurological state, because I'd be meeting and examining him in the next 3 days.
That's of high concern to me. High concern to me, because it's such a difference. His state, because it's so different between January 26th and today. So.
Well, I should find out.
Yeah, find out, because he's under a lot more stress. The other thing I was going to ask you, if there is such a base, do you want me to look at it?
You know, I guess I, at the moment, I feel a little bit like that, Jay, that I do when you give me information about categories of medical data that I don't have expertise in, and, you know, I'm very frequently saying, you know, don't bother telling me about chakras, because I don't even know what a chakra is.
Okay, but I mean, I could draw your schematic if you're interested. So if you ever find yourself interested in
that. I guess the question in my mind about that is, it's a really good point. And it kind of leads into the next part of our discussion. I'm not the expert in assessing the value of that category of information. I don't know anything about architecture. I don't know anything about dimensional characterizations of military facilities that I don't have access to. I don't know anything about detail that would come from that, so it would have no meaning for me. But, and this is the key one, it kind of gets to our next part of the question. Others in my confederation with whom I'm working are expert at those things, just like they are not expert in allopathic medicine. So my focus with you on the dozen cases we have been the clinical medical issues for which I can get or for which I already have personal examination of the patients or access to brain scans and access to blood tests and access to internal medical and neurological data. And so I tend to stay away from having you give me information that has little meaning. Now, having said that, here's the departure point, and we're now finished with 001 and into the other subject. Our sponsor and myself and Hal and George are extremely impressed at the granularity of your reporting on the clinical medical data of the individuals. And for example, I'll just give you the most recent. On a number of cases, not every single one of our dozen, but on a number of the cases, I have transcribed the factual medical information and given them to the individual and asked them to tell me what they think. And in almost every case, they basically say that individual, meaning you, knows me very well. And most importantly, a recent one of the patients was a physician. And one of the patients was a sub-cabinet level officer. And both of them said to me, I gave them essentially a written document that took only the veridical statements that you asserted that were medical, that were factual, based on signs, not symptoms, but based on signs, clinical medical signs. And they both went through them and found that 95% of your statements were correct, and the others they could not determine. So that's pretty impressive. That's better than a physician does when he puts together all of his medical data. And that's better than an allopathic.
You can see why I'm certified by the American Board of Scientific Medical Intuition.
I can certainly see that.
There are only two of us who are Carolyn Messer.
That is related to a second overlapping part of the Venn diagram. So first we've got the reportage of the reasons for the individual patients I've given you, writ large, having certain physical and neurological characteristics. And this is quite good. I mean, you even described, for example, in one patient, just kind of at the end of the discussion, that the individual has a pond that was significantly larger than the average pond. That's a pretty abstruse thing to say. That's a pretty odd thing to say. That's a pretty strange thing to report. That's a pretty weird thing. But I happen to have that individual's brain scan. And so I measure the pods, and I measured 100 controls, and you were right. I mean, the pods of that particular individual is 100% larger than the average for age, sex match group of individuals. I mean, there's not very many people that even care about the pods of a brain. So, I mean, that kind of thing all put together is from a piece of the Venn diagram that has to do with the accuracy of clinical, neurological, and cognitive data, which is the the other piece of what you described in that. And also, I must say, some of the spinal column defects that you pointed to, which one of the two individuals, in fact, has been very interesting. The encircling second part of the Venn diagram is what is of interest to our sponsor. And it relates to the experiment which I shared that we have discussed, which is the possibility of a simultaneous functional brain scan between you and that facility in Phoenix and this individual's facility, possibly in either Western Europe, probably in London, or in Tel Aviv. And you have already stated that you would be willing to be a subject in the experiment for an attempt for an ineffable contact communication in the time and state, precisely with Geller.
My only concern is that I would be, I want your, I'm trusting you explicitly in that I don't want anything to be implanted, you know, any ideas implanted in my mind by that. You know what I mean?
Well, let me tell you where we are.
Right.
Kind of get to the departure point of this conversation, Kate.
Right.
I told you that I feel confident about certain pieces of data, and I do not feel confident about other pieces of data. Now,
right.
If there was to be a point-to-point communication attempt, I can tell you three things about that experiment. Number one, about one-third of that, I'm the only expert on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the functional MRI connectivity systems of what parts of the brain are related to other parts of the brain for communication and quantum telepathy. The second thing is the software associated with the calculations and the manner in which the scan sequences would be done at two different locations. So where the technical people doing the scan sequencing with the radio frequencies used for MRI in both locations were coordinated and using the same Halyard coordinates for looking at the brain simultaneously.
Right.
That's a very rich, very interesting, very complicated, very mature, and very, 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 very advanced software. And each one of those experiments is done individually. So there is a second group of people, one of whom is a PhD engineer neuroscientist who works for Hal and George at Hal's Institute. He would be in charge of that.
Okay.
Not Kit.
Okay.
The third part of this sort of a communication gets to the questions that Hal is the world expert in, which has to do with the interpretation of data that comes from verbal reportage of individuals doing remote viewing. And he is expert in that, not me. He's done thousands of cases. I've done zero. And he would be the individual responsible for that. So what the issue is that the sponsor's interested in is tying that all together. And the sponsor is interested in one dimension of that experiment, and I'm interested in the second, Hal's interested in the third, and here the dimensions are. I'm interested in the dimension of showing that quantum connectivity between two proven, competent telepaths can be measured with simultaneity in terms of the portions of the brain that are activated. That is now possible to do. I don't do the math, but but I know how to determine what portions of the midbrain connected to the caudate and the putamen connected to the prefrontal cortex and connected to the part of the brain that does imaging is all related to each other. That's something that right now is a very, very rich area of my world of MRI. Hal is the expert in knowing how to design the experiment.
Okay.
And the sponsor is interested in having an experiment design where the thing that you do and the thing that Uri does happen to be identical to each other. Okay? Both you and Uri have asserted, and in your case, you have, in my judgment, proof. In Uri's case, I can't say that the connectivities that you get for the acquisition of information includes the others.
Oh, yes.
Okay, now, our sponsor is interested in the land.
Yeah, I know he is.
Hal is interested in the former. I'm interested in the neurology and the genetics. Okay, so what the sponsor has done within the very recent past is said he would like to have us do that. And so I have, as you know, have put out feelers to Uri.
Okay.
And there's good news and there's bad news. And I don't know where it's going to work, but that's just because we're dealing with Uri.
Right.
With you, there's only good news, but with Uri, there's good news and bad news. Good news is, Uri is very interested. The bad news is, Uri is very interested in publicity. And he has been informed by my interlocutor to him in Tel Aviv that that ain't going to happen. There will be no manner of anything public about such an experiment.
Right.
None. Zero.
Right.
No. Having
I think
said
that has to be
one of the members. One of the members of the team is a senior author of a book or two, actually, about Uri, and is a senior editor of the Financial Times of London. And we would agree that he and only he would have the right of second refusal, with ours having first refusal, to anything that such an experimental design and results might portend. For example, if the experiment were to end up being scientifically pristine, the data were to show quantum pseudolocation between two purely, absolutely pristine experimental MRI scanners, we would not say that information could not be part of scientific literature with the appropriate protection of sources.
Right.
And we won't say that Uri would never, ever, ever, ever be allowed to say, I was the person in that journal article, subject number B.
Right.
Okay? But he couldn't do it ahead of time.
Right.
Now, he may say, no. If I can't be in control, if I can't have the right of total, my own people present, my own cameras present, my own recording people present, I can't go on TV and say, look what these guys did and what they discovered, then it's not going to happen. Then what we're going to do is find another person than Uri.
Yeah.
And we have several candidates. Now, I won't do that, but I got a feeling that one of them, to be honest with you, just between you and me, one of them may be subject 011.
Okay.
because it seems to me that there's a certain coalescence of what you said, and I got to now ask you a couple questions so I can write down the answers.
But here's my concern. That's this silly bird we've got in the basket. Just gives this emotions. My husband just walked in front of me. He's seen a few. Here is the deal. Years ago, when I was in the presence of Billy, and he was on the stage, and I was just in the audience, I had very distinct psychokinetic reaction to him. I told you, the ring on my finger bent and broke. I am concerned for my well-being if I am simultaneously linked to this person. So that is my only concern. I do not understand what that link may be. I don't think we need to understand. But I personally, and that's the only time that ever happened to me, although I've had a lot of psychokinetic effect around me in my life, but I've never had a ring bend and break on my finger before.
I'm just
concerned for my own safety. If I get connected to Yuri, what's going to happen? Is the MRI going to explode? I don't know. And I don't think I'm being overly dramatic. I'm just saying, I don't know and I'm not sure. I want to, So this is where,
That's this week's episode of the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. I'm your host, Grant Cameron, hoping that you will join me for upcoming episodes. Links to my YouTube interviews, books, and my Facebook sites are in the show notes. If you love the podcast or learn something valuable, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, or give a review on today's episode. If you would like a certain paranormal subject dealt with in the future, please let us know. Until next time, watch this space, and thank you so much for listening.